That is the difference. When you talk about being changed, that is the difference. Because if you say rapture, that completely just does away with everything that God has taught and causes you just to sit down and to wait for some strange phenomenon to take place that isn't going to take place for you. But when you say change, then it runs in harmony with the Scriptures, where the Bible teaches that we are changed from glory to glory into the perfect image and the fullness of the stature of the Son of God. We are changed from glory to glory. We are changed as one beholding His face in a mirror. As we are moved, the Bible said that we are changed from faith to faith. That's where the word rapture throws you off. We are changed. How are we changed? We are changed from faith to faith. Enoch, the Bible said, was translated. I like the word translated far better than rapture, because the word translation is the word that the Scripture uses. Therefore, being translated by faith, the Bible said, Enoch did not see death. Why did Enoch not see death? Because he was translated by faith. And the Bible said, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. I say again, I am not waiting for the kingdom of God to come. The people that are sitting around waiting for rapture and waiting for the kingdom of God to come, you need to get born again. You need to get your eyes open. You need to get somewhere to where God can help you to see. Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. Because the kingdom of God had already come into this world. The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And men have pressed their way into the kingdom of God. I am in the kingdom of God tonight. Are you? The Bible said they shall come from the east. They shall come from the west. And they shall sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom. And the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness. Is that right? Cast into the outer darkness. Here Daniel gives an interpretation to a dream that talks about kingdoms. He's talking about kingdoms. Is that right? So then the Bible said, we ourselves are looking for a kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. Is that right? Men have been translated into the kingdom of God. Ever since the days of John, there has been a translation into the kingdom of God. They have come from the east and the west, the Gentiles, and they've been translated into the kingdom. And they sat down in the place of the children of the kingdom. And the children of the kingdom, which is the Jews, have been cut off from God and cast into the outer darkness. Turned away from God, and there's been weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth around the wailing walls of Jerusalem, waiting for the kingdom of God to come, because they kept saying, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? The Jesus that had been crucified or was to be crucified, he could not answer them because God had given him up unto death. But the Christ within that body said, it is not given to you to know the times or the seasons. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, he said, my servants would fight. He told Pilate that. But my kingdom is not of this world. And the Jews always had had a kingdom in the world. And they were confounded because the prophecies had stated that when the Son of David come, that he would restore the kingdom to Israel. And they knew that they were the children of the kingdom. And he said, as he realized that God was blinding them to bring the Gentiles in, he told them, said, they shall come from the east, and they shall come from the west, and they shall be translated into the kingdom of God. But ye yourselves shall be turned out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping, and there shall be wailing, and there shall be gnashing of teeth. Is that right? Did it happen? It happened that way. If we today just go to church, preach to people, just another sermon, just get together and have some songs and singing, my brothers and sisters, we're not getting anywhere. Even if we go far enough to work a miracle, if we work a miracle, if there comes forth some prophecies, if we dance and shout, we still haven't got anywhere. We're going to have to realize that we are the children of the kingdom, and that the kingdom of God has already come. And Jesus said, thy kingdom come, Father, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Is that right? Thy kingdom come, then let's redeem the human body just as we have redeemed the spirit. How many of you know the spirit is heaven? When Jesus stood there at Nicodemus and said, the Son of Man who was in heaven and who is in heaven, what was he talking about? He meant that he was in the Spirit. He meant he was in the Spirit. Said, you're not in the flesh. If you're not in the flesh, you're not in the world. Is that right? If you're in the Spirit, then you're in heaven. And they that walk in the Spirit don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that right? Nicodemus was a great leader of the Jews, but he was confounded. He couldn't understand spiritual things, no more than the 70 could. When Jesus turned to him and said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, they couldn't understand it. But there's the God in heaven that reveals secrets. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that we can have the secrets revealed to us. When the old king said, is there not anybody that can make known the secret? Then there was somebody. In the days of Joseph, when nobody could make known the secret, Joseph came on the scene and he made known the secret. And I want you to know that in the day that we're living in, that God still today has the revealer of secrets. And God today is still the revealer of secrets. And God can reveal the secret of your heart. The Bible said, even concerning people that prophesy, said, will not the secrets of your heart be made manifest? And the people falling down on their face will report that God is in you of a truth. Is that right? All right, now, here being translated in the kingdom, what is the purpose of the children of God? What are we doing here in this world? What are we trying to do? Build ourselves a ministry? Get ourselves a following? Build ourselves a church? See if somebody will praise us? See how many we can have in camp meeting? What kind of foolishness would that be? That's not our purpose. Jesus said, for this cause I came into the world, to do thy will, O God. We come into the world to do the will of God. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We came here that his will might be done on the earth as it is done in heaven. Not to build a great movement. Not to build some great denomination. Not to prove to somebody that our denomination is going to win out. But we're trying to come together as the children of God to where the kingdom can be established in the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel good, don't you? The brother said, feel good, good, good. I feel good. Hallelujah. So then, there is a kingdom. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Did you notice the message of the early church? The Bible said Philip went down to Samaria. When he went down there, what kind of message did he have? The Bible said he preached two things down there. That's all he preached. Just two things. That's all he preached. What was it that he preached? He preached the kingdom of God, and he preached the name of Jesus. Why did he preach that? He preached the kingdom of God because it's God's will for us to come into the kingdom. And he preached the name Jesus because the only way into the kingdom is through the name. That's why he had to preach it. Preaching the name Jesus and preaching the kingdom of God. If you leave off the name Jesus, you might as well to quit. I've said this so many times. The Bible said that I did not choose you because you are a great people. He told Israel that. He said, I did not choose you because you're a righteous people, because Pentecostal people are a rebellious people. But he said, I chose you to make a name for myself. And the very thing that he chose us for is the very thing we leave off. We say that we are church of this and church of that and church of everything, but we leave the name Jesus off, and that's the very purpose that God chose us in the earth. What for? Was to make us bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and fill us with the Holy Ghost and translate us into the perfect image of the Son of God. Hallelujah. All right, now, knowing that the kingdom of God has come, thy kingdom come, Father, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, the kingdom can't come until the fullness of time. But the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law. In the fullness of time, he came forth. What was the fullness of time? That meant it was all over. That meant everything was finished. Jesus said, it's finished. It's all over. I can't add anything to it. You can't add anything to it. Brother Branham didn't add anything to it. There's never been a minister that ever added anything to it. Jesus said, it is finished. From that time on, it was a matter of the preachers trying to tell the people that Jesus had finished the work, and that Jesus had finished things, and that what we've got to do is believe in what the ministry is trying to get across to us to receive our inheritance. No matter what God does, it isn't effective in your life until you can believe it. Is that right? It doesn't make any difference. I can stand here and say to you all night long, by his stripes ye were healed. But that isn't going to heal you. But the very minute you believe what I'm saying, that very minute you'll be healed by the stripes that was placed yonder on his back many years ago. I can tell you all night long that you are the elect of God, but until you receive the by faith, what I'm telling you, you will never be born again. The Bible said we were saved before the world ever begun. We are elect according to foreknowledge, before the world ever came into existence. The Lamb of God was slain before the world ever was. Restore to me the joys that I had with thee before the world ever was, Jesus said. In the foreknowledge of God, the Lamb was slain. Jesus was resurrected. And Jesus, in the foreknowledge of God, had the glory of God with him and sat at the right hand of the Father on the throne in the foreknowledge of God before he was ever born into the world. And Jesus knew it and said, Father, restore to me that joy that I had with thee before the foundation of the world. That's the same way with us. God said, Job, where was you? I went there when the sons of God leaped for joy and the morning stars sang together. Where was you, Job? Hallelujah. I was in the foreknowledge of God. Where was you? Where was you? I was back there with my father. Foreknowledge of God. So I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. We have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. My brother, we make a mistake. We have the feeling that the kingdom of God is some natural something that God is going to set up down here on the earth. And when God sets it up, that we're going to just go right into it, you know. But that's not right. That's not what God's going to do. God is going to set up a kingdom on earth, that's true, called the millennium, which is the restoration of a garden. But that isn't for me and you. I said, that's not for me and you. That's for the Jews. The Jews will be made the head of the nation. The nations will gather out there. That's not for us. We've got something far better than that. I've got something better than the millennium. I've got something better than a flower garden. I've got God in my heart. I've been translated in the kingdom. I've become spirit. And I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Somebody would say, why do you say you're spirit, Brother Pine? Because the Bible said, he that is born to spirit is spirit, and I've been born to the spirit. I said, I've been born to the spirit. If I've been born to the spirit, then I'm spirit. Somebody said, well, I don't think you are. Well, I can't help what you think. I'm telling you what I am. And your thinking can't change it. The Bible said, can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? If this faith of God made me spirit, then I'm spirit. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you don't believe. You don't really believe that. You don't really believe that flesh and bone is spirit. I believe that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was spirit, because the Bible said God is a spirit, and that spirit was made flesh and bone, because the Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. Is that right? And the Word was God. And God is a spirit. Is that right? So then, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And I've borne the image of the earthly, so shall I bear the image of the heavenly, Paul said. I've borne the image of the earthly. When the fall came in the garden, I took on the personification because of Adam's sins of that which was pertaining to the earth. I was relative to the earth. I was made in the image of earthlings. And Jesus came down out of heaven, made in the same image of sin, to be a near kinsman to go unto Calvary, that he might redeem me. Jesus did that for me. I bore that image. I bore that image. There, I bore it at Calvary. Now, you did the same thing if you've been born again. But we have the image. That image which come from the fall in the garden, which came from the intellectual reasoning of education. And today, it's no wonder that the churches have got their basketball game and their petting parties and their colleges and their seminaries and everything else. It's the same old corrupt devil that's going back to the origin of the tree of knowledge, producing the same religious image that Cain was back there when he slew Abel. But I want you to know tonight that there's another image. The Bible said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, how many know this is a tabernacle? The Bible said, God will walk in you. You're the temples of God. Peter said, God showed me I must shortly put off this my tabernacle. Is that right? You know this is a tabernacle. Peter said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, this would it come from the fall. He said, I got another image. I got another tabernacle. I got another body. I got a mansion. I got another house, he called it. Yonder in the heavens, not made with hands. I've got another. He said, I've borne the image of the earthly. I've borne the image of the first Adam. That's the earthly. But I'll bear the image of the heavenly. That's the body of Jesus Christ. That's the image of the Lord Jesus. That's the house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. When Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it had not been so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. If I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Somebody said, Brother Park, I'm waiting for him to come to receive me. Well, God bless your heart. That's all right. But I'm glad that he came and he received me. I said, I'm glad that he came back and he received me. He said, I go away, but I will return again. He said, the world won't see me, but ye shall see me. I shall be in you. Is that right? He came back and he received me. He kept his word. And where he is, there am I also. Where he is, there am I also. Somebody said, where is he, Brother Pike? The Bible said he's here with God. He's here with God. Yonder in heaven. Hallelujah. He's with God tonight. And that's where I'm at, my brother, tonight. I'm here with God. I'm here with Christ in the Spirit. I'm here with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the millennium, which is called the restoring of the restitution of all things. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I think you're still down here around earth. But the Bible said, I'm not of this world. Jesus said, you're not of this world. I have chosen you out of this world. Somebody said, but I think you're still in the world, but I don't think I am. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I think that I am. Well, the Bible tells me to tell you to quit thinking. It said to quit leaning to your own understanding. That's the old beast mind. That's your old reasoning. As long as you do that, you're in bondage to the carnal mind, and the carnal mind's enmity with supernatural things. It's enmity with the Spirit. As long as you think you're in the world, you're in the world. Somebody said, where in the world are you? That's such a crazy teaching as that. That's not crazy teaching. That's the only teaching. Amen. Paul said, we're not beside ourselves. So then somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you believe that we're down here in this world? I certainly do not. I don't know about you, but I'm talking about me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, how could you believe that, Brother Pike? You must be losing your mind. No, I'm not losing my mind. I already lost my mind. Hallelujah. I've lost it. Amen. The Bible said, don't lean to your own mind. Don't lean to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, if you think you're in this world, you're in this world. All of a sudden, somebody said, well, it couldn't be like that. I couldn't be like that. I'm not talking about thinking up here. Jesus said, as a man thinks down here, with the heart man believeth. If down here I think I'm in heaven, and brother, you better believe I think I'm in heaven, then I'm in heaven. Hell, somebody said, but Brother Pike, it just can't be. Well, tell me, what did Jesus mean when he said the Son of Man who was in heaven and the Son of Man who is in heaven? And yet Nicodemus saw him, and he saw Nicodemus, and he was standing there, and Nicodemus was standing there. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. I might say, when Jesus went away from here, he went to heaven. Jesus never went away from here and went to heaven. Jesus was already in heaven. Do you believe he told a lie? He couldn't lie. He had the spirit of truth. He said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. If Jesus could stand on the earth and look a man right straight in the eyes and tell that man that he was in heaven, I want you to know tonight, I can look you right straight in the eye and tell you that I'm in heaven. I've been translated into the kingdom of God tonight. I'm in the kingdom of God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm trying to fight this fight. I'm trying to walk this trail. I'm trying to hold on. And if I be faithful, God will take me in. I'll tell you what you need to do is get born again and go into the kingdom of God and quit trying to hold on. There's no way you can hold on. God's got you. He ain't gonna let you fall. There's no way. Jesus said, not one shall be plucked out of my hand. Every plant my heavenly Father is not planning to be plucked up. But he said, Father, I've not lost a one of these. Not a one of these. You know, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm talking about the kingdom. It's God's pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? He said, my kingdom's not of this world. But they thought, well, Lord, you're going to turn everything back into a garden. We done read the prophecy. We done heard about it from the prophets. See, that was the Jesus, but the Christ said, I'm a spirit. See, the Christ answered them back. It was the Christ. Why? Because it was a changing over from the Jew to the Gentile. And it was the Christ that was speaking then. See, they kept saying, will you at this time restore the kingdom? Jesus will restore the kingdom. Jesus will sit on the throne in the millennium. He'll sit on the throne of David. Isn't that right? But see, Jesus' time was up. He was going to Calvary. He couldn't restore the kingdom. He said, it's not given to you to know the seasons and the times. No, he's going to do that later. But see, it was time for the Christ to come in then. It was the time for the move of the Christ. It was the time for the move of the spiritual Jew and a spiritual leader, which is called Christ. A spiritual salvation, a spiritual vision, a spiritual mind, a spiritual power, a spiritual strength. It was time for it to come in at that time. Isn't that right? And so then he said to him, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. And the Jews were confounded. They couldn't figure out what he was talking about. And he said, the kingdom of God don't come by observation. He said, the kingdom of God is within a man. The kingdom of God is within a man. What is the kingdom of God within a man? It's spirit. It's spirit. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. It's Christ, the hope of glory, the spirit of God on the inside of you. That's what it is. Somebody say, well, so much for that. What's that got to do with it? The Bible said he'll return to be glorified in his saints, and all of the world shall glorify him and praise him in his saints, and he will make them come and kneel at your feet and know that he has loved you. Is that right? Somebody said, where do you get that? The Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar fell down at Daniel's feet and worshiped Daniel. Is that right? It said that he worshiped Daniel. The Bible doesn't say that Daniel told him to get up. Paul said they glorified God within me. The Bible said when Elisha came back from across the Jordan after he picked up that mantle and he smote the waters and the waters parted. The Bible said they fell down before Elisha, the sons of the prophet. They fell down before him. They didn't do that before he went across. You know why? He didn't have the mantle. Didn't have the mantle. Hallelujah. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid that I'll praise the man. How are you going to praise the man when the Bible said not to know him after the flesh? There's no way you can praise the man. The man's dead. The man's buried. The man's gone. It's not him that liveth, Paul said, but Christ. And the life he now lives, lived by the Son of God. Hallelujah. Who you praising? Jesus said, you do it to the least of them, you do it to me. And that right said, let them go hungry, let me go hungry. You put some clothes on them, you put clothes on me. Why? He said, don't grieve me. Is that right? A high priest can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He said, don't grieve me. Why is that? Because he lives in the temple. It's because it's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. If you do it to the bone of his bone, then you've done it to him. That's the only body the eternal spirit's got. God has no other body but you. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't really believe we're the body of God. I certainly do. I believe that we're the body of God, and the only body there is to God. There is no other body to God. Jesus Christ has a fleshly, corporal body that's been changed in the Spirit. He is the head of the church. The Bible said the government shall be upon the shoulders. We're the shoulders. Isn't that right? The controlling factor is on us. The woman's got the long hair. The glory being God's power, control, authority, that's on her shoulders. That's why I preach the covering. I preach the message of a covering like I did. When I preached the covering and I made the statement, I said if the woman takes her hair off the shoulder, then she's disgraced her husband. If she cuts her hair and her hair comes off of her shoulder, she has disgraced her husband and she has dishonored her husband because her hair is a symbol of his governmental power over her body. If I cut off the glory of God and it don't rest upon my shoulders in a constraint, then I have dishonored my head, which is my husband. And the Bible said the woman dishonoreth her head. That's her husband. Isn't that right? That's why the Catholics are in the condition they're in. They shave themselves bald-headed to show that they are prostitutes. That's right. They don't know that, but it's to show that they're prostitutes. And what do? They go back and cover their heads up. Why do they cover their heads up? Because it is another covering outside of the head, which is the husband. It's another covering. They're covering with another covering, God said. They put another covering on. They disgrace God. Like the women in Mexico, I mentioned the veil. They put a veil over them. Why? Because the veil symbolizes the carnal mind that's over the reading of the Old Testament. Paul said, which veil is eradicated in Christ, that is with the brightness of the coming of the light, that he destroys the image, and with the brightness of the light, he destroys the veil. And when the woman comes into the presence of the husband, then she's no longer shamefaced. Is that right? She can take the veil off. But the veil had to be on their face until the marriage. God has let the veil be over our face, which is this glass darkly that we see through, which is this carnal mind of reasoning, of types and shadows. He did that to keep us humble, to keep us shamefaced, so that the devil can't take advantage of us, so that he won't get exalted. Is that right? He does that until the day of the marriage. But Isaac took that woman back there in the mother's tent. And the Bible said, heaven and Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Took her back there, got her in the mother's tent. Is that right? When he got her in the mother's tent, he took the veil off. Is that right? He unveiled her. Why? Because she had become equal with him. That means that when we get the revelation of Jesus Christ, we are being unveiled. And we're moving into an equality with God. Everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. Somebody said, well, there ain't no perfect people. But the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Is that right? In other words, God has perfected forever you and me. Is that right? I feel my perfection, don't you? Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, the fivefold ministry is set there to perfect us, and someday they're going to get us perfect, and God's going to sweep down here, and there's going to be a rapture and take us away. No such thing. There ain't no man, no minister, nobody that can make you righteous. Jesus Christ made you righteous at Calvary. The Bible said he made you the righteousness of God in Christ, and that's sufficient. You are perfected forever, the Bible said. And you are sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on the tree. I've been sanctified once and for all. I've been perfected forever. And I am without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish or any such thing. And the Bible said I'm elect according to foreknowledge, and nobody can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, Paul said. So then, I am God's work in Christ Jesus. I am His peculiar work that has been finished in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? I am the work of God in Christ Jesus, having been made perfect forever. Tonight, not only has He made me perfect, but He's made me so that I cannot sin. He's made me to where there's no way to sin. I can't sin. It's impossible for me to sin. Why? Because the Bible teaches He has perfected me forever. How can a person that's perfect make any wrong move? How can a son of God sin? I'm a son of God. John said, now, beloved, you're the sons of God. Who ever heard of a son of God sinning? Paul said that in my outer man there is a spirit, there is a law, there is a power that's warring against my mind on the inside. He said it brings me into captivity to the do's and don'ts, the failures of life. Is that right? He said, but if I on the inside do not allow for it, it is no longer I to do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And Jesus died to do away with the body of sin. Therefore, there's no sin within a Christian. He that is born of God cannot sin. That's why it's needful for us to understand. We've got to come to a message of a sinless church. Somebody said, but I've always been taught that the minister was put there to perfect the saints. Well, I'll tell you what, in all of these church ages and years, if they ain't perfected the saints, we need to stop. Somebody said, well, you said they could not make us perfect, Brother Pike, by causing us to be righteous. I know that. But the Bible doesn't teach that they're to do that. The Bible teaches that we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. The ministry is not set there to perfect you in righteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ sanctified you forever. But they are set there to preach the Word of God, to tell you about the inheritance of the salvation of Calvary, about the inheritance of what Christ did yonder on the cross. They are set there to tell you that you are eligible for the kingdom, that it's God's good pleasure for you to have it, and all you got to do is be translated into it by believing. Faith by the hearing of the promises, and they say there's 32,000 promises here in this promised land. Would you like to enter into it? All you got to do is get over the Jordan, that's the old carnal mind of death, and enter into the mind of Christ, and you'll get out of the wilderness. Is that right? All right, now, so then it is a true fact that there is a kingdom, there is an inheritance. What is God's pleasure? That death be swallowed up in victory. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, when will this happen? My brothers and sisters, it's already happened. Death has already been swallowed up in victory. Jesus, the Bible said, that the Lord destroyed him that hath power over death. Is that right? He destroyed him. There is no devil to a Christian. There is no Satan to a Christian. There is not one little bitty baby. But what? He's got power over the devil. Every son of God's got power over the devil, even as a little baby. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said you'll tread on serpents, but they won't hurt you. Somebody said, well, why does he kick me around all the time? Because you led him. Somebody said, where did you get that? The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Say, get behind me, Satan. I said, he picks on you because you led him. I know some of you's little babies, and that's why he picks on you. You're babes in Christ, and you don't know nothing about nothing. You're just like a servant under tutors. Is that right? Until the time appointed of the Father, redemption, when you come into your power, acknowledgement of your authority, like the man-child being caught up and Satan being cast out of heaven, he can't step there any longer when you're raised up and take your authority. Is that right? So then you say, what are you trying to say? I mean that some of you are little babies, but you can call your big brother. I said, you can call your big brother. Hallelujah. That's why God's ordained powers and authorities in the church. When the devil gets to kicking the little folks around, they have a healing line. And them big boys begin to cast out the devils. Hallelujah. God's got some big boys, did you know that? Hallelujah. I said, he's got somebody that knows what they're doing. He's got some authorities. He's got a law, too. He's got some lawmen just walking around, too. If you'll just do right, you won't wind up in prison. They'll be for a help to you. All right, let me say just a little more here. All right, now, what is God's pleasure? To establish a kingdom in your heart? What is God's pleasure? for you to overcome death? Had you rather have a healing? Had you rather have a healing? Have you rather have a blind eye open, a deaf ear unstopped, a leg, a lame leg made right? Or had you rather pass from death unto life to where you'll never die? Which did you rather do? Which did you rather do? I made a statement the other night. What is the more important? The 70 went to Christ, and the 70 worked miracles, and the 70 cast out devils, just like the 10 men of today, didn't they do it? But the 70 didn't receive the revelation. When it got down the revelation, he said, drink my blood and eat my flesh. They had to back off and leave him. Is that right? Isn't that what they're doing today? When God started the revelation moving the earth, didn't they back off? They had to leave it. When he started talking about Jesus' name, didn't them boys compromise and go the other way for money and prestige? Did they take the name of the Lord for reproach? Or what did they do? They went the way of the crowd, didn't they? They backed off. They couldn't take it. See the revelation. Why was that? Because Jesus said it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to you it is given. There is a God that revealeth secrets. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The Bible said the Spirit searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. It is given unto the world to hear the gospel, and the gospel be confirmed by signs and wonders and miracles. But it's not given unto the church this. It is given unto the church the revelation of Jesus Christ, that they might be translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, the revealing of the mysteries, to where they can bypass death. Hallelujah. God's doing that. It's God's will for it to be like that. God is wanting you to bypass death. God is helping you to get past death. So then, when is death conquered? For the Bible said the last enemy that be conquered be death. And said, when it is conquered, said, then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? He said, when death is conquered, somebody's going to say, death, where is thy sting? And somebody's going to say, grave, where is thy victory? It stands to reason that if death doesn't have any sting, the grave couldn't have any victory. Doesn't the grave cry victory over the remains of a fallen brother or sister because of the sting of death? Is that right? So then what is the sting of death? But what is the sting of death? What is it? See, God is a mind. He's a spiritual mind. The devil's mind took you away from God. Now the mind of God's taking you away from the devil. It's a mind. It speaks to humanity. All right, now, what is the sting of death? Most of you know what the sting of death is. The Bible said the sting of death is sin. Are you listening? How is death going to lose its sting? Come on now, stay with me. How can death lose its sting? What is the sting of death? Sin. But how can death lose its sting? Jesus took it out at Calvary. How many of you know that? How many of you know Jesus took the sting out of death? Jesus took the sting out of death. What is the sting of death? What is it? It's sin. For the Bible said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The sting of death is sin. Now, how do we escape the sting of death? Because the Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that means if you walk on with God, you won't sin. Where did you ever read that in the Bible? Who ever taught you anything like that? Well, your pastor must really be mixed up. There ain't no such teaching as that. Somebody said, well, what it means if you just hold on to the end. A man that's predestinated couldn't do nothing else but hold on to the end. You get a hold to about 440 volts and it's running the right way. You don't have to worry about turning it loose. Brother Zale got a hold to someone on the top of a pole way up here and he couldn't turn it loose. He had to knock the ladder out bundled. God, when you get a hold to God, you don't have to worry about turning it loose. God's able to keep his own. You think electricity is stronger than God? So then, what is it? We're not children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We're not a bunch of people running around so somebody can start a new church and a new movement and a new denomination and a new revival so they can line their pocketbook and get them a bigger tent, so that they can make themselves a reputation at the expense of the sheep. We are children of the kingdom of God. And we're coming into a knowledge, a revelation, and the revelation of Jesus Christ to make the devil know who we are and what we're doing and what our purpose is. So he said, what are you trying to say? I mean, what is the sting of death? It's sin. And if the Bible said, oh, death, where is thy sting? Said, someday there'd be some people that would say that. Come on now. I said, the Bible said that would someday come some people that would say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Are you listening? Someday there would be some people that would say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Who was those people to be? The people that made the wonderful discovery that Christ had taken the sting out of death and brought, and in the day when a message would be brought forth that he that is born of God cannot sin. Then those people, when they really believe that in their heart, they can cry out with all faith, oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. Why come we can't cry it out? Do we believe the Lord lied to us? Where is the sting of death? It's taken out at Calvary. What victory does the grave have? Only the victory that you will allow it to have. Like a bumblebee with a stinger out, just like a big bully flying around. You don't know everything's all right. The little child gets frightened. He don't know the stinger's gone. He just listens to the buzz of the bumblebee, and it bothers him. It scares him because he's heard that bumblebees sting folk. But the devil's a bluff. They ain't nothing to him. The Bible said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. And death is the power of the enemy. It's the last enemy that should be conquered. Is that right? Paul said, all of our life we were under bondage to fear of death. All of our life we were under bondage to it. But brother, when we learn the revelation of Jesus Christ, we are no longer under bondage to the fear of death. If you're under bondage to the fear of death, you need to be born again. Is that right? How many of you fear death? Let me see your hand. Come on, be honest. You fear death? Brother Jimmy said he fears it. How many fear death? That's something coming from a boxer. That fellow's a boxer. Had write-ups in that ring book. Knocked men flat on their face. Probably knocked their teeth out. Probably could whoop his weight in Wildcat, but he's afraid of death. Are you afraid of death tonight? Jimmy was just honest. He was just one of about two-thirds of you. Is that right? You just didn't lift your hands up, that's all it is. You just didn't lift your hands up and tell the truth, Jimmy did. That's all. Some of you are afraid of death. You know why? Because you hadn't made the crossing. How can you fear Jordan if you're on the other side? How could you do it? I can truthfully say tonight I have no fear of death. Death holds no terror for me. No terror. I wouldn't want somebody whacking on me with a pocket knife or a straight razor. Because I got feelings. I got nerves. I don't like for people to cut on me. It hurts. But I have no fear of death. I have no fear of death. That's the truth. I have no fear of death. I like to stay around here because I got a lot of things I like to say. I enjoy talking about this. But my brother, I have no fear of death. Death is no enemy to me. Death is no problem to me. As far as I'm concerned, death is conquered. I know that it's conquered. If I had the time to go into it tonight, I could prove to you it's conquered and tell you some things that's far deeper than this, far beyond this, concerning hell and concerning the second death and other things that would really make you to know that Jesus has done something for you. But I want you to say, just in the surface of it tonight, we are the generation, Paul said, there shall be a people that shall not sleep, but shall be changed. I said the other night, what is going to bring the resurrection? What is going to bring the resurrection? It was Elijah. It was those men that brought the resurrection. They raised the dead. What's going to bring the resurrection? What's going to bring it? Jesus is a resurrection. Are you bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? Have you passed beyond death? Jesus said you passed from death unto life. then that means you're the resurrection. Is that right? When we come to realize that we are the resurrection, when we come to realize that death is conquered, that we can't sin, and because we can't sin, we can't die. If you can't sin, you can't die. Because death comes from the sting of sin. The soul had sinned. What started death in the garden was because the sting got in. Sin. Lust. Is that right? But if we're free from it, then we can't die. There's no way that we can die. If we can't die, why be afraid of it? Why should we let death prey off of us? Why should we fear getting to be 80 years old and dying? Why should we fear death? Why should we tutor ourselves with the thought, I'm now 30 and soon I'll be 40. Now I'm now 40 and soon I'll be 50. Now I'm 50 and soon I'll be 60. I'm 60 and now I'm gone. How silly. Why should we do that? After all, isn't the body just as good at 60 years old as it was at 30? Somebody said, no, it gets tired and wrinkled and old because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. The appointment with death. The appointment with death. Is that right? Let me say this right quick. If everything in the universe orbits around the sun, and without that, everything would freeze over. And if the sun is typical of the great light, the Word of God, that means that every bit of creation orbits around the Word of God. Is that right? The Word in the beginning, God, said, let there be, and there was. So then everything orbits around the Word. And when man disobeyed God, an evil heart of unbelief separated his faith from let there be. Is that right? For the Word said, thou shalt surely die. And then man began to orbit around the Word, thou shalt surely die, thou shalt surely die, thou shalt surely die, thou shalt surely die, thou shalt surely die. Preachers preaches from the pulpit, thou shalt surely die. Mom and daddy talks about getting them a grave lot, thou shalt surely die. Somebody said, we better get some insurance, we'll surely die. Everything orbits around it because God said it, the Word. There was an appointment unto death. And somebody said, well, the Bible teaches that the man's appointed unto death. Every man's appointed unto death. After that, the judgment. I believe that. But I also believe this, where the Bible said that God looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners, and he loosed them that was appointed unto death. I was one of the prisoners of death. I was groaning, but God looked down from heaven, and God heard the groaning of the prisoners. And God loosed him that was appointed to death. And that same Jesus that said, thou shalt surely die, that same Word that in the beginning said, thou shalt surely die, came in a human body and said, thou shalt surely live. If you can believe my words of life, you've passed from death unto life, thou shalt surely live. I broke the appointment with death. I've loosed the prisoners. Something happened out in New Mexico. The tent meeting was out there a few days ago. There in the cabins that positively proves what I'm saying. Positively proves that this is the hour of it. I believe I spoke to Brother Taylor about it, or he caught it one. All right, now, why should I worry about dying? Somebody said, well, I'm getting old. Well, I don't see no reason to. I don't see no reason to. You don't have to. You don't have to. Enoch just believed God and went on home. Now I'm preaching a message. This is an indoctrination in your head. It won't change you because you heard it. Somebody said, if this is the great message and I'm hearing it, then why come I ain't changed? I am changed. Them that heard it, they're changed. I know about you that you didn't hear it. You just thought you heard it. Having ears to hear, you didn't hear. Having eyes to see, you didn't see. You understand what I'm saying? So then, this gets up here. But when it's transferred into faith down here, It's a message. It's a knowledge of here. It's an indoctrination here. But when it gets down here with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. When it gets down here, then it translates you. Enoch got it down here. And the Bible said by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now I want you to listen to me. I said the Bible said that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Now is God a respect a person? It said that Enoch was translated. How was he translated? By faith. What kind of faith? There is but one faith, the hearing of the Word. It was faith in the Word that translated him. Somebody said, but the Word wasn't even back there. But the Bible said the Word appeared to Abraham. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, the Scriptures, the Bible said, even the Scriptures appeared unto Abraham. Sure, the Word, God, the Eternal Spirit, appeared back there and talked with Enoch. For the Bible said he talked with God, and he walked with the Word 300 years. And his faith began to get hold of God, and he began to have faith. And the Bible said by faith he was translated. That's what Paul discovered. Paul discovered the same thing 2,000 years ago that you're discovering tonight. I said Paul in the Arabian desert discovered the same thing I discovered when we went away with God. You don't have to die. Somebody said, well, I can't believe that. Well, go ahead and die. It's your business. Beware lest an evil heart of unbelief be found within you. Either God's a respected person or he's done something for Enoch he won't do for us. And you mean to tell me that he'd done something for Enoch back there before the blood was ever shed as far as our acknowledgement of it that he won't do for us today? If he did that for Enoch back there before the blood was ever shed at Calvary, how much more will he do it for us? There is a kingdom and you can be in it. There is a translation and you can go. But it's not a rapture. It's a change from glory to glory. It is a change from faith to faith. As you hear one passage of Scripture, believe, you believe it. And through that faith, there is an inspiration. There is a glory. And the genetics of your blood is changed from inward as the Spirit breaks forth in the outer man. That's why Moses glowed on the outside. That's why Brother Branham in his day, he glowed. He got so full of the Spirit, it began to penetrate and come out. A lot of times a preacher be preaching, he's been fasting and praying, he'll begin to glow on the outside. Why? It begins to penetrate the veil. The light begins to penetrate the veil. God is that light. John said, I came to bear witness of it. But we're not bearing witness of it. We are the light. I'm not bearing witness of the light tonight. Jesus said, I am that light. From glory to glory, translated into the wonderful image of God. In the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. To them that sit in the regions of the shadows of death, unto them great light has sprang up. We are the light of the world. The light of the latter house is brighter than that of the former. Is that right? What was the light? The law. What is the light of the last house? The latter, the revelation. That's right. The law in the beginning, John the Revelator in the last. Isn't that right? It's the revelation, the light of the world. It's grace. You love the Lord? I want you to stand with me. I wasn't going to minister to you tonight, but I felt like God wanted me to. There's a whole lot of things yet that I'd like to say, but I know that some of you are tired because you stayed late last night, and I know I'm tired. But I believe I've said enough tonight to make you stop and think. God is good, isn't he? Line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, the gospel is wonderful to me. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Publish peace. It's a wonderful thing to me. The gospel is a wonderful thing to me. I've passed from death unto life. How many have passed from death unto life? Let me see your hand. How have you been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God? How many of you are hid with Christ in God whom the heavens have received? How many are in heaven tonight? Are you in heaven tonight? Somebody said, well, I just can't believe I'm there. Well, you ain't there because that's the way you get there is believing. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, well, if that's it, the man down here in the insane asylum believes he's George Washington, that makes him George Washington. No, it doesn't either because he's got a mental defect and in his brain it's not operating right and that causes him to have strong delusions. That's what caused him to believe in. That's in his head. But I'll tell you what, if he believed in his heart, through the gospel that he was George Washington, he'd change into George Washington in a minute. If you never saw George Washington, you'd sure see him, because it'd sure change him into it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And I want to say this again. I've said it in the past. As a man thinketh in his heart, that don't mean because he gets to thinking in his head up here that he's a carpenter, that makes him a carpenter. That don't mean because he thinks he's a doctor, he's a doctor. It don't mean because he thinks he's on his way to heaven that he's on his way to heaven. He could be on his way to hell. But I'll tell you one thing, as a man thinking, if he thinks as a doctor, if he thinks as a carpenter, if he has a constituted knowledge of thought, as the education of a doctor, he's a doctor. If he has a constituted, educated frame of mind as a carpenter, he is a carpenter. He can do the work of a carpenter because his thoughts think as a carpenter. It says, don't saw it this way, saw it that way. Don't measure it this way, measure it that way. Is that right? That's the way a son of God is. If you got a constituted mind of God, of Christ, and we do have the minds of Christ, then we are Christ. Then we are sons of God. I think as God. I think as Christ. That makes me God. That makes me Christ. That makes me bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You love the Lord? It is true. Somebody said Antichrist. No, not Antichrist. Antichrist is not bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Amen. The devil was cast out of heaven because he exalted himself up with God. You know why the Lord cast him out? He raised himself up to God's level. God cast him out. Isn't that right? Why did he do that? Somebody said, aha, aha. Why did he do that? Because he didn't have no business up there. That's where we were supposed to be. You say, where do you get that? Because when he goes out, we're the one that's going to put him out. When the man-child's caught up, he's going out. That's our place up there, not his. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? It's through his blood and through his grace. Everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master. But by grace, by faith, the grace of God through faith are you saved. Therefore, being justified freely by the blood that was spilt at Calvary, we have peace with God. Through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I want to say again that I'm glad to have you here. We've been praying for the sick, talking to you a little bit. But tonight, we're going to try to close the service out as soon as possible unless something develops differently. Because I know some are tired. But do me a favor. Come back tomorrow night. Do yourself a favor. Come back tomorrow night. Be with us tomorrow night. Be with us tomorrow morning in the service. We're having some good services, good crowds in the morning. Come and be with us. There'll be people here. Brother Wilson will be here and others, different ministers. You'll enjoy it, different people. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, with him. You know, I want to give you this warning again tonight. I'll give it before it. I want to give it to you again tonight. Always remember, you can always tell the difference between the ministry of God and when Satan is working. They both work miracles. How many of you know that? Setting the three unclean spirits came out of the mouth of the frogs, working miracles. Or came out like frogs.
working miracles through the earth to gather them all together to the battle, the great battle of that great day. They want the celebrities. They want to turn to the big shots. They want to find the favor of the uptowns. You follow me? They go to the kings. But the Bible said when Jesus came meek and lowly on the fowl of an ass, it said that he, the common people, heard him gladly. Isn't that right? God's ministry will always turn to the common people. Always to the common people. Because it's not an unclean spirit, and it's not looking for the kings of the earth in prestige. Let's sing it again. Go with him to the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, with him, all the way. I don't mean that you won't have favor with man. Jesus grew in favor with the man and God. And I don't mean that you won't have favor with the rich. When they started to leave Egypt, they found plenty of favor with the rich. They gave them their money. They'll give you their money because they know the plagues is fixing to come. I talked to the banker, the doctor, the lawyer, the judge. I see him cry and pray. The banker sent me word today, the banker that we do business with, borrowed as high as $80,000 from him. Sent word today to me by my daughter. Said, Brother Pike, said, if I can help you anyway, let me know. And anyway, said, because I believe you're doing a good work. And said, we're pleased with the way that you've handled your affairs. You find favor with him. I go up there and he'll say, pray for me, Brother Pike. I can't make it by myself. But see, I don't want the favor of the king. God will give me the favor of the king. He holds the king's heart in his hand. He turns it whithersoever he will, like the rivers of water. He raises up one, puts down another. I want the favor of the common folks. I love the common people. They heard Jesus gladly. The rest of it will take care of itself. But I love that working man that sweats on the job, that hammers and nails. Hallelujah. Brother Red knows what I'm talking about. He's worked hard in his life. That man gets a hold of my heart. People that slave and work, good, wonderful, heavenly, holy, darling people that God loved. Let's sing this little chorus. And we sang this little chorus. I'm going to turn it back to Brother Taylor, and he'll dismiss you because he knows you're tired. Don't forget to come back and be with us. The little chorus, we'll give the glory to Jesus. And we'll give